KSLSports.com, Trevor Allen here with you. I'm doing another story because it is the biggest story in the entire state, obviously with the University of Utah losing in their bowl game, but it doesn't matter anyway because the guy who I have on right now is a big hit, not only in this state, but around the country. I bring in the PFL World Light Heavyweight Champion, Sean O'Connell. Sean, how does that feel to hear that light heavyweight champion, Sean O'Connell?
Sounds awesome. I mean, I'm still getting used to it, but it's a goal that we set out when we signed with the PFL at the beginning of the year, and it's come to fruition, so pretty satisfying.
So first, I kind of want to go back to when you were warming up for the fight. How were you feeling? Thoughts going through your head, you know, nerves or anything like that, just as you were warming up, getting ready, and then also as you're walking out to the cage, knowing that $1 million was on the line, a belt was on the line at Madison Square Garden.
Well, I'll tell you what, I woke up on Monday. That was the day of the fight, right? Monday?
Yeah.
I woke up on Monday and just, I'm typically not super nervous about fights, but I was crazy nervous. Just, you know, woke up early and couldn't get back to sleep and was trying to just lay there and relax. And my mind kept going through all the scenarios that could happen in the fight. So it was wild because that was not an ideal start to fight day, but once I watched a little football over the course of the day and then calmed down a little bit, and then once we got to the arena and started warming up, it just was like any other fight where you're getting ready to go and your body's starting to respond to the old familiar cues, and just felt really good. My confidence went from, you know, pretty low in the morning for whatever reason, to just super high as I was warming up. We were talking about the kind of little final minute details of the game plan in the locker room and getting warm, and I just felt like, all right, we're dialed in. This is exactly what I need to do. And when I walked out, we're at Madison Square Garden in the Hulu Theater, and it's a pretty, you know, it's like the little concert venue at Madison Square Garden, so it's pretty intimate, pretty small crowd, and you're close to the audience, and there's 100+ people in Sean O'Connell shirts that have come out from, you know, all over the country, but most of them from Utah, that are friends and family of mine from way back in the day. And it was just like, you know, it's like I was fighting in my hometown, and it was such a cool feeling. So with all that put together, I was extremely confident that the fight was going to go how we needed it to go, and thankfully it did.
When you got into the fight, first round, Vinny, I wouldn't even say take you down, but you never know. When, it's like, say you went five rounds, you don't really know how the judges are going to score that based off of what he was doing with you. What was Jeremy Horn, your coach, saying to you after the first round, to where maybe it was iffy on whether or not you actually got the win in that first round?
Well, Vinny definitely won the first round, and he deserved it because he executed his game plan better than I did. He flopped. He went down on a leg lock is the first way that he got me on the ground, and then after that, he pushed me up against the cage and he took me down, and then he took my back. But we were just, you know, we'd been through all those tough grappling scenarios in training camp, and just knew I had to survive the round, get back to my feet. Vinny did a good job of holding me down and staying in good position. He's a world class grappler. He's a multiple time world champ, and I knew I just couldn't make any big mistakes. If you're going to screw up against him, you got to screw up real small. So we were pretty conservative in trying to get back up. He spent, you know, the last half of the first round on top and did some damage. He cut me open on the feet. So he definitely won the first round. But I was confident when we went back into the corner because I had spent, you know, a good majority of that round in his world, and I was never really in serious trouble. So I felt like I didn't have too much to worry about. And Jeremy made the adjustments necessary, told me which things I needed to change on defending the takedown, and we did it the rest of the way. So rounds two and three went a lot better, but I was still confident even after losing round one.
Well, and so then of what you did was you really just kept the fight standing up. Whenever Vinny would end up shooting on you, you'd go back to your good old wrestling days and sprawl on him and put all of your weight on his back. wearing him down, and it obviously showed as we got through rounds two and three. Was that kind of what changed from round one to two and three, where you, because you were really flawless on sprawling, getting on top of him and not letting him grab your legs and take you down?
Yeah, not the whole training camp, but a huge portion of training camp was spent on not letting him get me into his world, which is that grappling world. And unfortunately, it happened in round one. Had to make sure it didn't happen for the rest of the fight. So there was a lot of emphasis on punching and putting together good combinations, but staying light enough on my feet that when he would shoot to counter, I would be able to sprawl. So that was the exact game plan we went into the fight with, and we executed it over rounds two and three. And had it gone to four and five, would have done it in four and five also, but never got there.
It honestly wasn't looking like Vinny was conditioned enough to go into the championship rounds, because obviously it was very well documented, you know, the betting odds between you and Vinny, and then obviously Vinny finishing all of his PFL fights in the first round, whether it was knockout or submission, and you were able to get him out of the first round, but then it just seemed like he was gassed, and you were taking advantage of it by landing some really heavy shots.
Yeah, I was somewhat surprised. I knew that, you know, both of us were both big guys. He's a little bigger than me, so you're not going to see us like the featherweights or the lightweights just jumping around in the fifth round. But yeah. I was a little bit surprised because he physically, he's so impressive looking. I thought that, you know, he'd be in better shape. But it takes a lot out of you when you get hit hard, and that definitely has something to do with it. So I was impressed with his chin, and I was impressed with how durable he was, because I hit him with as hard a shots as I've ever hit anybody, and it would look like he was going down, but then he'd grab my leg instead of just crumpling and quitting. And I'm glad that my cardio held up and his maybe didn't quite as much. And it's just a testament to how important conditioning is in this sport, because skill and all that start to fade pretty rapidly when you're exhausted.
Third round's over, you go into your corner and find out that the fight is over and that you just won $1 million in the light heavyweight title. What was going through your mind when they told you the fight was over and that you won?
It was a surreal moment. I was in a little bit of disbelief. I was like, am I dreaming right now? Is this really happening? I'm looking around to make sure that, like, you know, the commission is actually saying it's over, the referee's actually saying it's over. And then I just looked out into the audience and saw, you know, all my friends and family that had traveled, saw my wife and my brother, they like appeared in the cage, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe that it's finally here. We finally reached the goal that we set out when we signed with the PFL, and it was just a fantastic feeling. Immense relief, obviously, because there's a lot of pressure when you go into those situations, and I was just happy.
So then you obviously announced you were all done fighting. You weren't going to do it anymore. But then during the post-fight press conference, you said that there was a number out there hanging that could get you to come back. But then you also posted on Twitter that you were indeed done. So are you indeed done fighting in the cage? Obviously, you'll continue your career in broadcasting. But are you done putting on the gloves?
Yeah, I'm done. I want to preserve my health and my brain health, especially. You know, you and I don't just cover combat sports. We cover everything. Football, it's been a big thing. All the contact sports, finding out the long-term cost of getting hit in the head over and over and over again. And you watch my fights, you know how often I get hit in the head.
Yep.
So I feel like I've been lucky to this point to not have any long-term damage, and I want to make sure it stays that way. The only way to guarantee that is to get out before you get concussed or before you get hurt bad. And I've been really, really lucky over 30 plus fights to not, you know, even though I have been knocked out, I don't think I've had the same kind of damage that some other people have had. So I'm done. I said that thing in the post-fight press conference just to see if anyone out there throws a big number at me, but it's going to have to be a really, really big number.
And indeed, I mean, obviously $1 million is a pretty big deal, but for you to have, you know, just to go out on that high note, did you and your wife and you and your family talk about this before the fight, saying, okay, win, lose, or draw, I'm done? Or was it, if I win, I'm done. If I lose, I'm coming back. What was kind of the strategy behind that?
No, yeah, I mean, my wife and I had talked about it and basically decided that this was going to be it. And I hadn't definitively said that really to anyone except for her, and I think maybe my parents. You know, your mom always worries. So
yep.
I had to reassure her and let her know that, hey, just one more, Mom. Just going to do it one more time. But I didn't want to make it super public and make the whole conversation leading up to the fight just about that. So kept it not deliberately quiet, but just didn't focus on it. And then when it was time to make the announcement, made the announcement, and I feel good about it. And I'm just telling everyone that I'm done because I want to be consistent with that. And I want to be accountable to that statement so that, you know, when 2 years from now, someone's like, hey man, you should try it again. I'm not like, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. Cause Trevor, you can call me and be like, bro, you told me you were retired. Don't do this.
Yeah. Of what I heard on the broadcast is that you and your wife are going to have a baby coming up. A baby girl, and, you know, when a guy who's known you for 6 years has to find out on the broadcast, it hurts a little bit. No, not really. But
it wasn't public knowledge yet, okay?
Oh, I know, and I'm just giving you grief about it. You've obviously got to, you know, think a little bit more, you know, that you now are going to have a child and a family that you've got to look out for, and, you know, getting punched in the face continually, you know, it kind of doesn't go in your mind as far as being able to, and just like of what you said, you've definitely got to keep your brain right. And when you're taking headshots, it's definitely a different story.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's wild. Your priorities shift. And I mean, you know, you're a dad. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a grown up enough to really fully appreciate all the things that are going to be, you know, I'm going to be responsible for as a parent, but I know that it's going to be a big challenge and I'm going to need to have, you know, all my faculties about me to be good at it. And I put in a lot to my mixed martial arts career. I've had almost 12 years now of it, and it's a good time to transition. And how many guys or gals that have dedicated their lives to sports get an opportunity to leave the sport on a high note? It's so rare, so I want to take advantage of this opportunity.
When you got into fighting back in 2007, that was your very first bout in the MMA world. Did you picture yourself not only lasting all these years fighting, but going out on a championship?
No, man. I mean, back in 2007, when I was 23 years old when I had my first fight. When you're 23 years old, you don't think about anything, you know, big picture. You're just like, hey, what's next? What am I doing next week? So I had a goal to make it to the UFC back then, because the UFC was the only, you know, destination show. That was the real big show. And I didn't even as I made that goal, I didn't even really know what I was saying. You don't know fully what you're getting yourself into when you say things like that. It's a very challenging world to try and make a living in, and to try and stay relevant and stay competitive. There's always bigger, stronger, faster, younger guys. I've been blessed with good health and good people around me and a good coach. So I've been able to squeeze a little bit of juice out of this, and I'm glad.
Kind of going down into the past, do you remember who you fought in your very first bout?
Oh, yeah. Jason Del Rio.
And how quick did you finish the fight?
I think it was 37 seconds and knocked him out.
That was actually your second fight against Kenneth, but it was 36 seconds.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if the first one was a second longer or a second shorter.
After all of those fights, you know, you obviously started out winning your first three fights at a local promotion here in Utah. Did you start thinking a little bit bigger after you got all those wins and they were all, you know, finishes?
Yes, this is how ignorant I was to what it really takes to be successful in the sport. I won those first three fights in, 2.5 minutes total?
Yeah.
Roughly?
Yep.
And all of them by finish. And I immediately started searching for an agent. I was like, I'm going to be a big deal. I definitely am going to need an agent. At 3-0. fighting on, you know, basically an amateur level promotion, even though amateur mixed martial arts didn't exist in Utah back then. I just was so ignorant to the actual ins and outs and details of what it took to be a high level fighter that at 3-0, I thought I was ready to make a big jump. And I learned the hard way that it takes much more than that. And, you know, several ups and downs later, finally got my big shot and had more ups and downs after that. So I'm used to the roller coaster that comes with being an athlete, I suppose.
So whenever someone wins a big amount of money the way that you have, people normally ask, what was your first purchase? I'm going to guess, and this is just flat out guessing. I didn't ask you prior to this interview. It's probably something to do with the baby, right?
I actually haven't bought anything yet.
Really? Is that on your short list?
You know what I did? The only purchase that I've made, I bought a round of milkshakes for some of my friends who came out to the fight.
Wow.
There's literally, like, there's a diner attached to our hotel, TikTok Cafe, and we went over there. It's like an all-night diner. I got a salted caramel shake. My wife got an Oreo shake. A bunch of my friends got Oreo shakes and whatever. And I felt like I was a baller, so I took out a $100 bill, threw it down on the table, and walked upstairs to the after party. I took my milkshake with me. I didn't even give them their glass back.
Really? Because you're just like, here, keep the change.
That's exactly what I did. Like, such a dumb move, but I was feeling pretty good.
And knowing you, I'm not surprised by that. On your flight home, did you carry the belt with you, or did you check it in your bags?
No, I carried the belt. I carried the belt on, but I put it inside of a backpack.
Okay.
So it was the heaviest backpack, man. That belt weighs like 20 pounds.
I'm actually going to need you to come over to our studios, or I need to just come and hang out at your house because I want to see that bad boy.
Yeah, you should bring the kid and let him carry it around. It'll be fine.
I don't know if he can carry it.
He might not be able to pick it up. We'll put it on him, and it'll hold him still. He won't be able to squirm around. I put it in a backpack, and then my coach, Jeremy Horn, because, you know, you can only have like your one carry-on and one personal item.
Yeah.
So I had like my big backpack as the carry-on. I had the small backpack with the belt in it as the personal item, and Horn had his regular backpack, and then he did my giant check. He brought on his personal item, which was awesome. So
that's awesome.
They put it in the closet on the plane for me, and I picked it up on the way out.
Is the league gonna getting a new belt, or do you have to give it back?
They're getting a new belt. I'm not giving this thing back.
Good.
Are you kidding me?
Good. I would not want to give that back either. It was funny because my wife, she asked me, she's like, does Sean get to keep the belt? I'm like, I think he does.
Yeah. And we got to keep our belts. No, I mean, look, PFL didn't skimp on anything.
No, they didn't.
They hooked us up. They got us great hotels. They fed us well. They took care of the transportation. It was first class across the board. Really wonderful. And the belts are nice, man. I mean, they're on par with all the other major promotion belts that I've ever seen or touched or been around. And now I got one. I get to keep it.
Absolutely. And that's something that you'll obviously treasure forever. One last thing, and then I want to talk to your wife, as strange as that sounds. I want to ask her a few questions about, from her point of view, watching you fight. What has Jeremy Horn meant to you?
Look, it's really hard to describe how important Jeremy's been to my career. And I'm happy that this fight went in such a way that maybe proved how instrumental he's been, because everyone discounted my ability to survive on the ground with a guy like Vinny because of the way I fight and because of the way, you know, because of Vinny's credentials. And over the last couple of days, people have been like, man, how'd you handle Vinny on the ground? And Trevor, I think that you know the answer to that question, right?
Yeah.
It's because I trained with Jeremy Horn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I survived Vinny on the ground, because I've been training for almost 12 years now with a guy who's a high-level jiu-jitsu practitioner, an absolute wizard in breaking down game plans and formulating game plans. He's been huge. He's one of my great friends. He's like a big brother to me. He's just awesome. And He doesn't self-promote. He doesn't sell himself. He's a terrible businessman, terrible marketer, but he knows the sport of mixed martial arts as well or better than anyone in America. And we're very fortunate to have him in Utah. So I hope people take advantage of it. They go learn from him. Whether you want to be a pro fighter, you just want to learn something about the sport, get in shape, whatever. Jeremy Horn's Elite Performance is a great place for you. And he's a really kind person. He's kind of a nerd. He just wants to hang out and do a little jiu-jitsu, hold some pads, teach some lessons, play some video games. He's just a simple guy, and everyone else in this sport that's trying to be famous and trying to be well-known and make $1 million and act crazy, Jeremy's just a guy who wants to live life his way and help other people do the same and win fights. So it's impossible to describe how instrumental he's been to my career, but there's a reason that I've never gone to another gym. I've never really branched out to look for something else, and it's because I have not mastered all the lessons of Jeremy Horn yet. You know, if I ever get to that point, I'll maybe move on and look for another teacher who can teach me more. But good luck finding someone that can teach you more than Jeremy can.
Is there anything that you wish you would have done in this sport that you didn't do?
I wish I would have fought in Japan. The people who are, you know, big fans of the sport kind of know what the Pride Days meant to the sport, and the fans over there are just legendary for how classy they are and how much they appreciate the competitors and how well they treat everyone over there. So I wish I would have fought in Japan. And obviously I wish I would have climbed a little higher up the ladder in the UFC. I wish I would have cracked that top 10 in the UFC, but the second act in the PFL kind of made up for that one. So I'm content.
All right. Now joining us is Kendall O'Connell, the wife of Sean O'Connell. I wanted to ask her a couple of questions about, because she's been at every fight and watched him live in all of his bouts in the PFL. Kendall, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I just wanted to ask you, first off, Sean's very first fight in Chicago ended up winning in his first bout in PFL. What is it like watching your husband get punched in the face?
You know what? That was my first ever experience watching an MMA fight, was that fight. And actually, I reacted differently than I expected. I was super excited and into it and yelling at the cage and yelling at him to get up. And so I got into it rather than, you know, cower away. But it was really fun to watch and exciting that he won that one.
So then his second fight didn't go that way. He got kicked in the liver, and I've actually shown some of the people the video of it, and it hurts my liver just watching it. What was your reaction when that happened?
I was definitely worried about him. I was actually more worried about how he would handle it mentally, and I just didn't want him to be bummed about the whole thing. So that was, I think, the hardest part, just kind of cheering him up about the loss. But yeah, definitely hard seeing my husband get punched in the liver and go down like that. That was hard to watch.
As soon as he goes into the playoffs, in order to get to the championship, you have to win two fights in one night. And he was able to do that. So in the first round, in the quarterfinal against Dan Spahn, he had to pick up a 10-8 in the second round because he lost the first round. What was going through your mind as he was going throughout this fight and then winning and then having to fight again?
Oh, that one was so hard to watch too, because, I mean, it was awesome that he won the first fight. You just wanted to celebrate that. And then knowing that he had another one coming right after that, it was hard to even celebrate the first win. But I was confident the whole time, actually. That night, I was super confident. I had been to the gym a lot with him and just watching him prepare and train for it. I was confident that he would win those two fights, and he did.
How nervous were you when he was walking out to the cage at Madison Square Garden and about to fight for $1 million and a belt?
I actually couldn't handle it. I started breaking down a little bit. I almost lost it. I almost started crying because I was just so nervous for him and worried about the outcome. So that first round was really the hardest yet to see and watch. And I'm even nervous, like, talking about
it. So am I, actually.
My mental state. But after the first round, it was good.
So once they called the fight off in the middle of the third and fourth round, and Sean found out that he just won the light heavyweight championship and $1 million, what was going through your mind?
I actually didn't know that he had won. Some of the fights, the MMA fights we watched, they just stopped the fight for a cut or have it go to a decision. So I actually didn't see him put his arms up like he won. And I got brought down to the cage with his brother. And at that point, I still didn't know that he had won. I thought it was still going to a decision. And someone told me right before I went into the cage, I was like, did he win? And they were like, yes, he won. And that's when I had my reaction right before I saw him. So,
I mean, obviously,
it was exciting.
I mean, it definitely has to be, you know, just seeing that big giant check with his name on it has just got to be every, and then obviously him wearing the belt, and you know, just kind of talk about that, to where, you know, you end up seeing the big giant check, they're gonna hand it over to him, and they also hand him over the championship belt. What was going through your mind when you saw your husband going through all of that?
Oh, I was still in shock because I didn't know how to react, honestly. I think I prepared myself more for what if he loses, you know, how am I going to react then? And I almost was afraid to prepare myself for a win because, I mean, you want that so bad, but I don't know. I never went there in my mind. So I was in shock, but seeing him put the belt on and then holding the check.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
So now that he announced he's done fighting, so you and him talked about that before, leading up to the fight. What was there ever any talks of you telling him that, you know, you wanted him to keep fighting even after this fight, or were you all in on the please be done after this fight?
I would like to think I've given him free rein in, like, making that decision. Right after the fight, I did, when I saw him, I said, don't do that again. Because that one was just so hard to watch. So that was actually the only time I said, don't do that, you know. But we had talked about, like, what if you win? Are you going to retire? And he said, yeah, I think this would be a good time to go out. So we did, like you said, talk about that before.
Well, all right, Sean, it has obviously been great catching up with you. I'm so happy for you, not only just as someone who's covering sports in this state, but as a friend. I've known you for 6 years, and it's just been great to follow your whole career and to see you end on this note. I'm just really, really pumped for you and to you know, be able to be a father and, you know, seeing you get married and everything like that. It's just been awesome, and, you know, it's always great catching up with you. I feel like I'm just talking to a friend and not even really doing an interview.
Well, yeah, I mean, I appreciate the support. A lot of people don't appreciate or don't realize how deep it goes, you know, and you guys have always helped pick up the slack at work and give me extra time to train and things like that. And, you know, I appreciate it. I hope you know that I acknowledge the efforts of everyone to help me get to this point, and it feels good to have represented my home state, my hometown, the way that I wanted to. And I hope we made some people proud and that people had fun watching. And I hope that, you know, they still follow whatever comes next.